Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday. It's just a manic Mini Crush Monday.
Who's that by?
The Bangles.
I always confuse the Bangles with Bananarama.
Okay.
I mean, I know that's a little insulting. The Bangles were the superior band, I would say, right?
Oh, I mean, they were both great.
And then there's the Go-Go's too. So that maybe I'm just being sexist and conflating all 80s female focused bands. What's wrong with me?
Well, the Go-Go's
not off to a good.
The Go-Go's were truly superior, I think.
There you go. I knew one of them was like the sort of holy grail of that era.
Yeah, there's a great...
To you, at least.
To everyone, Noel. There's a great documentary on the a new documentary about the Go-Go's on Showtime that I highly recommend.
Do you go out for Showtime, Chuck? Do you have a... Do you do the piecemeal cable package a la carte thing that we were dreaming of for low these many years, and now it's a reality and it's just kind of fucking annoying?
I don't think it's annoying. I got a lot of...
Yeah.
Services, as it turns out, though. I was kind of counting them the other day, and, you know, I'll get one. I got the Epics one because I wanted to see that Laurel Canyon documentary.
Right.
Now it's just sitting there gathering dust.
Echo in the Canyon, that one with fucking Bob Dylan's son?
No, the good one.
Different, a better one. Oh, good, because we've talked about this, my feelings about that one. There's good, the archival stuff is good, but when Jacob starts running his mouth, I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, it's the other one's really, really good, though.
Cool. I love all those bands. That whole era is just magical to me. L.A. holds a real special place in my heart as far as, like, music and that sound.
Yeah, and well, you know, since we're talking and I've been plugging Rivals like crazy, they just dropped the, I think it will be a three-part series on Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yep.
And the David Crosby episode debuted first.
Do they talk about that documentary that you mentioned recently?
They do.
Well,
they talk about that. They cover everything. I love those guys.
That's so good to hear, Chuck. And I have passed that on to them. Need to figure out a collab. They said, so down.
Who's he?
No, they're fans of yours as well, Chuck.
Yeah, well, I'll have to get them on Movie Crush too. I'm sure they could hold their own in the movie department.
No doubt.
Solid pop culture guys.
Steven just came out with a book on Kid A, the seminal Radiohead album.
Really?
A whole book.
Wow.
On record. I'm really excited to check it out.
Oof, boy, I tell you what, Noel, I love all of Radiohead, but when you turn the lights down.
Oh my God.
And everything in its right place, just like.
I just start shivers thinking about it. Yeah.
Opening notes are it's one of the best entrees into a record in history.
It's so funny. I'm literally getting tingles just kind
too.
Of thinking about that. It's such a special album, and you're right. One of the great opening songs. And such an interesting album for them because it was like, OK Computer sort of dipped the toe in the water of that electronic kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then this one just like jumped off the cliff like
high
dive style.
Just kick the door open.
Yep.
One of my favorite bands of all time. Easily.
Me too, dude. Me
so
too.
Great. And I know we talked about it before, but... They're not slipping at all. Like A Moon-Shaped Pool was one of my favorites of theirs.
It's great. Yeah, no, and it's like they're the kind of band that wouldn't do it if they didn't just love it.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't put out a record if it wasn't like important to be part of their whole oeuvre.
Yeah, and I think that's why they take their time. I saw recently, not Johnny, but his brother. Is it Colin Greenwood?
Colin, yeah,
said something about new Radiohead music, and he says we're going to do it. And, you know, we just take our time. Like, they're going to do, like, 5 or 6 years in between, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, each of them always has their own little stuff cooking. Like, Phil, the drummer, even made a solo record. And Ed O'Brien recently came out with a record that's very Brazilian-influenced. I think he spent a lot of time in Brazil.
Interesting.
And it has sort of that world music kind of vibe to it. It's cool.
Actually, the interview might have been with Ed O'Brien, now that I'm thinking about it, because he was pumping that new album.
Yep.
All right, Noel. Let's get going, buddy.
Let's do it.
I got a little treat for you in the next segment, but this segment, we're going to start out with favorite revenge movies. that I don't know if you like revenge movies, but I do.
Uh-huh, I do.
Big
got
fan.
A favorite. Well, there's a amazing Asian revenge trilogy, Korean, by Chan-wook Park. Old Boy is one of them.
Seen it.
Then there's Sympathy for Lady Vengeance.
Did not see it.
And Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
Did not see it.
Those are both excellent, Chuck. If you liked Old Boy, you will like these. And they're not like related character-wise, but they're his revenge trilogy.
All right. Well, I got to check those out. Of course, I'm sure there will be some Kill Bills in here. Great one. Blue Ruin, one of my favorite little indie revenge thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going bottom up again, Noel, to give the late crushers their due.
You know, I listened to that episode last night, just sometimes I'd like to in the wild for fun, because it's almost like hearing it for the first time, because we do so many of these, I sometimes forget what we talk about. And I love the bottom-up thing. It was delightful to hear from new people, yeah, and agreed. It gave you even like found a cousin or something on there,
my
you know?
Cousin
it was
Stephanie.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Who knew?
So cool.
All right, so we're going truly bottom-up with Kelly Conklin, and she says Home Alone. Not bad. It's sort of a revenge movie, in a way.
Yeah, that kid's a fucking psychopath.
Well, I tell you what, man, I don't know what it was, but when I saw that movie for the first time, I thought that whole break-in sequence was one of the funniest like 15 minutes I'd ever seen in a movie.
Oh, it's great.
It's fantastic. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And like there was a thing on Netflix a while back where it was movies that almost didn't get made or something like that. And Home Alone was on there.
Oh.
And it showed how storyboarded all that stuff was and how like choreographed to a T that whole sequence was. And they also had like a second floating camera that was like a lower quality, like Bolex type camera. It used like, I guess there's 32 millimeter, and this was like 16 millimeter or something. And they used that to capture a lot of the overhead, like slip and fall shots. And they just had it running at the same time, and they ended up using it a bunch, even though it was like a lower quality film or something like that. I'm not a film nerd, so I'm probably using the wrong terms, but it was interesting to hear them talk about it.
Yeah, it's 35 millimeter, not
35. That's the number, Chuck.
And they probably did shoot 16, which is, you would think it would be half. But it's not. And I think the reason is the sound strip.
I think you might be right. I think that's exactly right.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But
Casey Pegram would know.
He would know.
Jennifer Adolph says Fatal Attraction. Pretty great revenge movie. And just a great thriller all around.
Was that pre-Basic Instinct?
You know, they were right around the same time. I'm not sure which was first.
There's that golden age of erotic thrillers right there.
The golden 90s. Age of Michael Douglas's penis.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, you don't see his penis, but you can imagine it.
I think he should have shown a little peen.
Yeah.
You know, just to match, to put his penis where his mouth is.
You think he should hang Doug?
Hang Doug. I love it.
A lot of Kill Bills. David Mills, TJ Danny. Sean McFarland, a lot of
are people
Bills
differentiating between one and two?
I'm not seeing that. I mean, to me, it's a package.
I agree.
And in fact, wasn't there a rumor of like some big ultra long single edition that he was going to put together?
I hadn't heard that, but I'd support that.
I would too. I haven't seen those in forever. I'd like to check those out again. Cruel Intentions. I like me a little Cruel Intentions. That's from Laura Bjorklund. And I do too. And she posted a black and white GIF. And that reminds me, Noel, I saw a post the other day on the Crushers page where someone said something about black and white, Tim Burton's Batman looking better in black and white.
Mm.
There are clips where people have transferred it to black and white, and it looks awesome.
It makes sense. Because the design of it is so, like, I don't know. I feel like it's already such a muted palette that it makes a lot of sense to go. It's all about light and dark and just, you know, black and white. I watched that with my kid the other night, or at least started to. She wouldn't stop ragging on it, but she liked it. I could tell because it just, you know, it's just like it very much is its own thing. Like it's trying to be this noir kind of like stylized thing. So it doesn't even feel like an 80s movie or like I don't think it like is a of the time, but she thought the Batman costume was really stupid looking.
Really? It's a pretty standard Batman costume.
It's a little boxy.
Is
it's
it?
A little, around the face. It's a little boxy, but I could tell she was engaged. But that part where the Joker, like, you know, uses that joy buzzer and fries that guy to death.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty funny.
Check out some of those black and white clips and all. It really works.
I will. I will. I'm going to do it right now.
The Danger Oven. Gail Kuhn says Deadpool. Sure. A lot of John Wicks too, Noel. Mm-hmm. Jono Church. Rob Barr. More Kill Bills. Oh, our old buddy... our old buddy Allison Keller says, John Tucker Must Die. I never saw that, but I heard that was pretty good. Sort of a little tongue-in-cheek thing.
Is that the... okay.
It's a teen movie.
Something else. Yeah, no, I don't think I have seen that. What about... Are there any V for Vendettas on there? That's a good one.
I'm not seeing any V for Vendettas yet, but your pal Todd Klein says Mandy.
Yep, love it.
Man After Your Heart.
Love it.
And speaking of, Michael Fang says Batman 1989. Yeah, I mean, you could make an argument that most of the Batman movies are revenge movies. It's all big revenge.
He's upset because they killed his mommy and daddy.
Spoiler, Noel.
Oh, well, that's an origin story. I mean, isn't that sort of...
We've only seen that in 8 movies now.
I know, exactly. How do I Google this Batman black and white? I know that sounds like a dumb question because I'm literally Googling Burton Batman black and white.
And nothing comes up on the YouTubes?
Oh, it auto-corrected to statue, so it's showing me action figures. I got it.
What did statue come from?
It like auto-did it.
I know, Google, but what word?
I don't know. No word. I'm saying it was like one of those Google Instant where it was like, that's something a lot of people Google. Jeez. Yeah, this looks great. It makes perfect sense the way it's shot to do it this way.
It really
this
works. This is it's pretty cool.
The chemical plant heist scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it looks great. Love it.
It does, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they, if someone just, that's probably pretty easy to do in an editing program.
Did you see the Mad Max Fury Road black and white edition? That was when they actually officially put out, or it's like on the DVD or something.
I don't think that, I mean, maybe it works, but that movie was such a vibrant color blast.
I agree. I didn't understand it, but it was something they wanted to do. I think he initially wanted it to be in black and white, but
really?
The studio wouldn't let him. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I agree. Amanda Gilson says Hard Candy. I never saw that. And so does our old buddy Gaston, Caroline Gaston. Yeah, I need to check that out. I heard good things about that.
Isn't that with Juno? Isn't Juno in that?
Is she?
What's her name? What the hell's her name?
You mean Juno or the actor
Ellen,
named
Ellen
Juno?
Page. Oh, okay. Ellen Page from Juno. I think she is basically torturing a sex offender for the whole movie. It's one of the... I've never watched it because I don't go out for those torture-y movies. They just make me squirm too much, but I have heard it's very good.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I love revenge movies, but I think the torture stuff is where I draw the line. Mm-hmm. Swift death.
Yeah.
Is what I'm looking for, Noel.
There you go.
Ray Scantling says, does John Wick count? I mean, it's sort of the only thing going in that movie is revenge, right?
Yeah. Is it, would you say it's specifically about the dog?
Well, sure. And is
a big part of
bloodlust.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris McIntyre says There Will Be Blood. Totally agree. Michael Reed says The Limey.
Great How is movie. There Will Be Blood a revenge movie?
Oh, I mean, it's, I think it's sort of one of the central focuses is, the revenge between Plainview and the Preacher Boy.
That's right. That's a good point. Yep. I never thought about that. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I need to watch that again. That's such an excellent film.
Cheryl Creech Sinner says Carrie, the original Carrie. Mm-hmm. There's a few of those on here for sure. Patricia Ray Escaveria, great names. John Wick, again. Jaws 4, that's from David Bobenek. Oh, goodness.
Is it the shark getting revenge? I haven't seen Jaws 4.
Well, it's called Jaws 4, colon, The Revenge.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, I think so. Right. First Blood, that's from J.J. Liatsos. You know, I would argue, I don't know if First Blood is such a, well, maybe it's a revenge movie. Yeah, I guess it's a revenge movie.
Okay.
The Revenant, that's from Hans Bransel, The Revenant, Noel. A movie I could only sit through once, even though I really liked it. But I didn't want to see it again.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly pleasant, but it's definitely good. What about The Crow, Chuck? How do you feel about The Crow?
You want to know something, Noel?
Huh?
Never seen it. Can you believe that?
Okay. No, I don't know. I guess it's not like an important movie. I mean, it's interesting, the whole lore behind it with Brandon Lee getting killed and all that by the blank. It was supposed to be a blank, but I really loved it when I was a broody teenager. Don't know how it would hold up to watch today, but I think it's definitely a good revenge story.
I don't know why I didn't see it, really. I mean, it was in college. It was sort of right up my alley looking at it. I don't know. The Crow got by me.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe, I don't know. I have no, Audition. That was a good revenge movie.
Great soundtrack. Oh my God, Audition is, that's one of those movies that just like threw me for a loop. I didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
And it sort of tricks you into thinking it's sort of a melodrama. And then like halfway through or even three quarters through, it just shifts gears and goes full murder fantasy. Like it's really upsetting.
Gone Girl, that's from Abby Bleakley. I love all these new old pals.
Mm-hmm.
New old pals.
I love that.
Let's finish up here with a true old pal. Cat Gianbruno says, is it bad that my mind went right to Heathers? No, not at all. Heathers was a good movie.
That's one that slipped under my radar for many years, and I corrected that a few years ago, and I think it's just great.
Oh, I should mention, Emily Lloyd says 9 to 5. On the lighter side, for sure, great revenge movie. Love that movie.
Is that where we talked about that? That's with Dolly Parton, right?
Yeah, yeah. The trio of fantastic ladies.
Right.
Cat Ballou. Wow, that's old school. Jennifer Fitz Fee, Jane Fonda, and Lee Marvin. Cat Ballou, that's a good old school movie, Noel. Probably never heard of that, have you?
No, I haven't. But you know what I did start watching the other day? Was Clute. I started watching Clute.
Clute's great.
Yeah, I made it about halfway through. It wasn't because I wasn't enjoying it. Something came up, or I know what it was. My kid came home, and she wasn't down for Clute.
Clute's
really
not for her.
Cool noir vibe, very 70s, like very slow to get going. But then once it does, you're like kind of invested.
You can
remind me of
it?
The conversation. I'm definitely going to finish it. Yeah,
good stuff. All right, and we will truly finish with our old pal and top fan Trish Lauterhouse Gilbreth with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and she says the American version. I thought they were both really good. So, you know, it's one of the few times that a remake of a foreign film I thought was awesome. And I thought the Swedish version was super awesome. All right, Noel. So what we're doing is we're going to invite in a little special guest, something we don't normally do for a new bit, a new game.
A guest.
That is right. And so we want to welcome to the show old favorite Casey Pegram, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Casey, right. Look at that. Special guest.
I feel like I've been summoned from the ether.
You indeed have. You've materialized before my very eyes in Zoom form, at least, not corporeally, but
yeah, you know, we're still working on the corporeal manifestation, but it's the Zoom variant.
That's some next level.
Happen.
That's some next level magic right there.
Yeah, it's the next version.
Mm-hmm. So guys, welcome to the show, Casey, again. And what I decided to do last night was like, I need some new bits. I need some new segments and I need some new fun games, like little movie games. Noel's Holes is a lot of fun. But I thought we would do a game, and I originally was going to do this with Noel. But then I thought, you know what? I give Noel enough shit on this show and I don't want to just design a game for Noel to fail at. Because that's not fun.
Okay.
But I thought, you know who would be good at this would be Casey. Because here it is. It's a timer game. It's called Pop Quiz Hotshot.
And okay.
What we're doing, Casey, is we're going to go through 10 questions in which you have to name 3 movies of, you know, with a certain clue. But you have 10 seconds for each question.
Okay.
So, for a possible 30 points. And I thought the timer aspect might rattle Noel a bit. And so
it's going to rattle me.
Are we competing against each other? Are we dinging? No, okay.
No, this is all Casey. So,
okay. Noel's just here to observe.
He's here to observe and to help me with the scoring. And if there are any, what do you call it? Like anything we need to look up?
A referee kind of situation,
yeah,
perhaps?
Sort of
a tiebreaker?
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
got it.
And here's what we'll do, Casey. I'll do a timer. I should have done all this beforehand, but
so I'm going to make 2 columns and I'm going to do hashtags in each column. That's my scoring method, Casey. You might not be aware.
Are you going to score it?
It's very, very esoteric. What?
Are you really going to score it?
I absolutely will score it, Chuck. I need to work on scoring like a normal human and not like a freaking weirdo.
What should I use for my chime?
Just set an alarm or a timer.
Like the most loudest and obnoxious and stressing.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Yeah, a buzzer, something.
That's what Hodgman always did. He called it the klaxon. But what is that called on an iPhone? Do you know?
Yeah, let's take a look.
It's definitely not called slow rise.
Timer. We've got
uplift
ripples.
Waves.
How about ripples? Something.
No.
Very gentle. No? Too gentle. No. Okay. Let's see.
That's what I use for my wake up alarm, actually.
We're driving people crazy too. Right now, is what we're doing.
No, they love it. They love it. Constant. By the seaside. Beacon.
Night owl.
Radar.
You're getting close.
I can sense people tuning out.
My daughter made this one good. For me.
Gundam Tanaka. Gundam Tanaka.
Tanaka.
Gundam Tanaka. It's an anime thing. Oh, internet, do you love us right now or what? None of these seem right. They're all so gentle sounding. There's Presto.
All right, I'm just going to do Presto. It's
Presto's good.
It's
Presto's
obnoxious good. Enough. All right. It serves a purpose.
Well, you know, we do have a producer, Chuck. We can just have him like replace, you know, your Folgers crystals with Taster's Choice. You know?
Maybe we should just replace everything with like get a sound file of Noel burping. Mm-hmm. And then just loop that.
Yeah.
I have a whole voice memo devoted to just bodily sounds of mine that I use for music. I just sample to make beats out of.
All right, Casey, are you nervous?
Yes.
I think you're going to do well. So. Don't think about the timer.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got our umpire. Okay. We got our scorekeeper.
All right.
And just concentrate on the question. And then we'll
so
be
you're
rapid
give me
fire.
Three clues and I just named the movie as soon as I can figure it out.
You'll see. All right, you have 10 seconds, Casey, to name three movies with colors in the title.
Blue Velvet, Blue Valentine. Oh, God. Red Sparrow? Is that a movie?
Boom! Oh, that's a good question, Casey. Is Red Sparrow a movie?
It is, right? Wasn't that the Jennifer Lawrence thing?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called? Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Boom, you got that one, Casey. One hashtag in the left column for you, my boy.
Okay.
I think you got two, right? Blue Velvet and Red Sparrow?
No, he did three.
Blue
but
Valentine
doesn't that,
as well.
Blue Valentine. Okay.
But don't you just get 1 point if you get it? Are there partial points awarded?
It's a possible 30 points.
Oh, okay. So I got 3 out of 3.
Yeah, you got 3 out of 3.
Okay.
We also would have accepted the trilogy Red, White, and Blue.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, see, that's the kind of stuff it would take me a little more than 10 seconds to come up with the gun.
I know you, Casey. I thought you were going to go right for that.
So wait, it's 10 points per movie, 30 points per round, or a possible 30 total for the game?
Oh,
I'm
Jesus.
Sorry, Chuck.
Here we go.
It's three per movie, right? And
three
10,
per
10
movie.
Rounds?
It's 1 point per goddamn answer.
Okay.
He just got 3 points.
So you're doing 30 questions.
10 questions, 3 each.
Okay.
Oh, I should have known.
You said 1 point per answer. Oh, yes. I got it. There are 3 answers. I got it. Okay, great.
This is going
you made
great,
it sound
guys.
Like it was all or nothing, though. It's
right,
like you
right.
get three or you
yeah,
get nothing.
Okay,
I felt that way, too. That's why I clammed up.
You
I
know
think
what,
I was
guys?
Like, oh, my God.
It's all my fault. Yeah. I wasn't clear.
No. This is we're all complicit here, Chuck.
All right. I feel like I should change this now because I had it loaded for Noel. Mm. So, I'm going to skip that for now. I'm going to come back to it. So we're going to go with this one now, Casey. You ready? In 10 seconds, name 3 movies not in the same franchise scored by John Williams.
Star Wars. Did you do? No, that was Howard. I was going to say Lord of the Rings. That's Howard Shore. Jaws. Jaws is a franchise, right? Mm. And Indiana Jones.
2 out of 3. I'm sorry.
All right. Buzzer got me.
And what you can't do, Casey, is say, you know, I was going to say Lord of the Rings, but I think
that's kind of a waste of time, right?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a waste.
10 seconds goes fast, doesn't it? Is it 10? It's 10, right?
It's 10. So okay. 2 out of 3, not bad.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. That's a Meatloaf song.
Do you feel like 10 seconds is too little time?
It's not. It's just that this is a nightmare scenario for me. So I'm just No, 10 seconds is like a ton of time. It
should
be
called
a
lightning round. Yeah. I'm into this.
Do you wish
I'm kind of jealous that I'm not in the hot seat, honestly. But
I'll do one for you, you're crushing it,
Casey. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, Casey. I'm sorry. Do you wish you had not answered your text?
No, I'm actually having fun.
All right, Casey. In 10 seconds, name three action movies with female leads.
The Speed Count?
Sure.
Sandra Bullock? Okay. Jesus. I'm like almost out of time now. I don't know. I fucking hate action movies. Who cares? That's my sore loser answer.
Hot take.
One out of three. We also would have accepted Mad Max Fury Road, Atomic Blonde, Terminator 2.
Alien.
What's that 90s one?
That 90s action movie with a woman?
Yeah.
That one?
Well, it was kind of that novel at the time. It was like marketed that way.
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't know.
There was that one with
my mind is a blank slate right now.
Well, there's that one with Bridget Fonda.
Point of No Return.
Point of No Return. That was Tank Girl.
That's what I was trying
to come
up with. Tank
Girl. Yeah. That would have worked. Yeah.
It's easy when there's no clock, guys.
It is.
This clock, man.
All right. Not bad. I mean, one. That's all right.
No, you're doing great, Casey.
Not really.
In 10 seconds. Just take my compliment.
We'll keep a running tally, too, over the next like year.
Okay, good. I can kind of make it up over time.
Yeah, and we'll see how Noel does. Noel's going to be build back. Worse than you, Casey. Trust me. Noel will spend 8 seconds going,
That is not true, Chuck, and that's not fair or nice. I'm an articulate boy.
All right, Casey, in 10 seconds. Name three movies that involve bank robbery.
Ooh, Dragged Across Concrete, Heat, and I could have just said Speed again. Is there a bank robbery in Speed? I don't know.
No,
I don't think there is.
I was trying to go back. There's a late 20s movie called like The American Gunslinger, The Great Gunslinger, just The Gunslinger.
Okay.
And I got stuck on the nuances of the title, and then my brain just decided, screw it.
Do you know what else would have worked? Batman, The Dark Knight has a good bank heist. The very first scene.
There's too many. That's the problem. It's an embarrassment of choices, and my brain just like says, no, none of these are going to work.
Yeah. You want to go with the coolest ones too, right?
Well, I had this suspicion because of this list you had sent me last night, Noel, that this might all be art house oriented. So for the last like 12 hours, my brain has just been like art house world. And now I'm like, I've got to think like Hollywood mainstream, and it's just not happening today.
Chuck likes to go broad for these quizzes sometimes.
You guys will turn the tables on me at some point. I will take this same quiz and to your design, and I'm sure it'll be nerve wracking.
Right.
By the way, that reminds me, that Speed thing reminds me of one of my favorite Simpsons jokes ever. Do you remember that one about Speed?
Homer
was telling a story about the movie Speed, and he said it's about a bus whose speed couldn't drop below 50 because if its speed dropped and the speed wasn't right, then its speed, and he said speed like 8 times, and he went, it was called the bus that couldn't slow down.
Oh, man.
So great.
Casey, for the record, you're tracking a really interesting pattern right now. Your scores are 3-2-1-2. So now you've got nowhere to go but up, my friends.
The pressure's on. There we go. Mm-hmm.
All right, Casey. In 10 seconds, name three movies starring Sean Penn.
Tree of Life, The Indian Runner. Why is it always the third that kills me? Jesus Christ. Leaving Las Vegas jumped into my head. That's Nicolas Cage.
Yep.
Hurley Burley. I don't know. Good God.
Dead Man Walking would have been the Oscar Beatty one that might have. I think that's what Fear and Loathing. Leaving Las
and
Vegas.
And the Indian Runner,
right,
by the way, that's Viggo Mortensen, directed by Sean Penn. So that doesn't even count. So
shit.
I'm 1-for-3 on that one.
All right.
Oh, wow. We also would have accepted any movie starring Sean Penn. The timer is so nerve wracking, right?
It's horrible. It's the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
All right.
But it's fun.
Okay, Noel. Or Casey. Both of you. Are you keeping score, Noel?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Casey, in 10 seconds, name three movies starring Susan Sarandon.
I'm going to whiff this one because I'm trying to remember the Death Row movie.
That's the one I just mentioned.
Dead Man Walking.
Ironically, Dead Man Walking
starred... Once I hear the timer, that's when the thoughts begin to flow.
Exactly.
Dead Man Walking starred Sean Penn and Susan Sarandon. That was...
I know, that's right. Yep.
All right. Zero. Wow.
Okay.
Sorry, Susan.
Thank you, Zeg, on that one.
She's, what's the one in the car they go over the cliff?
Thelma Speed.
Thelma and Louise.
It's called The Car That Couldn't Fly. Okay, Casey. You've got to get this one. I'm going to be so mad at you. In 10 seconds, name three black and white movies.
What's the one on the island? Citizen Kane. The Grapes of Wrath.
All right.
What's the fucking Lighthouse movie? The Lighthouse. Jesus Christ. This is the worst. This is my nightmare. I am living my nightmare right now. We're capturing it in audio form.
This is fun for all of us. This is good.
Oh, boy. Grapes of Wrath. That was a nice call. You pulled
that's
that out
a
of
good
your
one.
Well, I was like John Ford, and then for some reason that stupid Lighthouse movie popped in my head, and for some reason I couldn't just call it the Lighthouse. And yeah.
Oh man, this is way more fun than I thought it was going to be.
I'm not looking forward
to doing this myself.
These
though.
Are not hard questions. That's the thing. Like,
I know.
This is
the, whole
the
point.
Easiest
it's
thing the, in the world.
It's
so
the timer.
It's fun to see the movie guy not know anything.
It tends to make you choke. It's just something inherent about like the pressure of the timer.
I've always thought that like when you're watching Jeopardy at home and you just like can run the board, and then it feels like if you're actually in that situation, you would not be able to name anything at all.
No, Ken Jennings, you know, said that. And this is no surprise. That's the biggest part of the game is just being good at the game.
Yeah.
Not knowing. He said everyone up there is super smart.
Right.
Or
right.
He like knows a lot of stuff. He said you got to be good with your thumb and you got to be able to like fucking chill out.
That's right.
Which I imagine is easier once you've won a few of them in a row, you know?
Maybe.
All right, Casey. In 10 seconds, name three movies set in the Old West.
The Quick and the Dead. Good Lord. My Darling Clementine. Stagecoach.
Boom! Hey, look at that.
I finally got past the third one. It's for some reason I psych myself out. As soon as I get two, I try to go for something fancy and it does not go well.
Stagecoach. Old school.
That's the one. Is that the one with the stagecoach?
It is indeed the one with the stagecoach.
They're just all up in there the whole movie, right?
I mean that's the bulk of the movie is that stagecoach.
All right, Casey, two more. Name in 10 seconds as a reminder. Yes. Name three. This is that you're either going to choke or you're just going to spit out three in a row. Name three movies with sex scenes.
Wild Things. Good Lord. The Color of the Night. Basic Instinct.
Right. give it to him, Chuck. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I'll give
you got
you
it right on the buzzer.
I'll give you all.
You
three.
Got it right. Okay, great.
Good job.
Did I say The Color of the Night or The
it's
Color
fine.
Of the
Night? It's fine. We know what you're
that's
talking
right. Color of Night. That's,
why did that pop in my head?
Because you're a horn dog.
Well, I know why Wild Things did. Because
yeah, okay. If Wild Things is quite formative. I could have said Showgirls. I could have said a million things.
I don't know. Color of Night was pretty steamy. I remember that one being in the old
could've
material.
Said, like, Carnal Knowledge, the Mike Nichols. There's a million things I could have said.
I don't know that one.
Sure. All right, Casey, last one. Noel, should we get a point total going into the final round?
Yeah.
What do we got here?
Let's see.
Out of 27.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
17 out of 27? Not bad. Mm-hmm. So, Casey, that means I'm actually going to use the original query because I think you will get 3 out of 3. If you don't, then you need to go to the doctor.
God help you.
I might need to.
All right, Casey, in 10 seconds, name three movies directed by Stanley Kubrick.
The Killing, Killer's Kiss, The Shining.
Okay.
I was trying to name his first movie, Fear and Desire, and then I was like, I couldn't come up with it.
Just to impress.
And then I just said, okay, screw it, The Shining.
All right, so 20 out of 30. Is that right, Noel?
That is correct, yes.
That's not bad.
That's a solid 66.
I would say that's respectable, given this is the first time this game has been trotted out. in the Movie Crush universe.
Yes.
Agreed. And you were the guinea pig. I think you did just
I great. Think I have to like meditate before the next one. That's the thing. I have to clear my mind of
it's
of,
really hard.
Any distraction, and then I can let these answers emerge.
Well, I think what happens is when you're in a timer situation, everything rushes to the front of your brain at once. Like I think
exactly.
I think you could probably
it's a traffic jam.
Yeah, you could do an MRI probably and literally see like a bottleneck
yes.
of information right before it gets to your mouth.
Exactly.
Hole.
Yes.
Casey, do you have like another 6 or 7 minutes to stick around?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to.
All right. Well, we're going to finish up with Stream This, where we just talk about what we've been watching lately.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I'll go first because it's very quick. I'm still watching Dark. We are close to the end of season 2, the mind-bendy German time travel. Jeez, it's a lot of things. It's very Lynchian. Very, very good show. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Casey.
No.
It's a lot to wrap your head around. There's a website that's very handy in trying to keep track of everyone because there are iterations of the characters through different time periods, and it's a lot.
Wow,
but
cool.
It's really, really, really good. And although I have not started watching yet, I do want to shout out The Boys season 2, which I cannot wait to get into. I think it's Amazon Prime, right, Noel?
That's correct. And I think Dennis Quaid's son is in that, friend of the network. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a great, great show, and I can't wait to get back into that. So that's what I have been watching and what I'm going to dive into next. Who's up?
I'll go. I've mentioned it on the show before as having really wanted to see it, but I put it off because I thought it was going to be too heavy, and I've been trying to avoid super heavy stuff. But I May Destroy You, maybe the best television series I've seen in a decade. It's heartbreaking. It's funny. It's psychedelic. It's got like really cool stylistic choices. And it's, you know, the story of a young woman who has her drink spiked at a bar in London and loses time and wakes up and knows something's wrong, but doesn't know what's happened. And these memories start to emerge and she starts piecing it all together. And it's almost becomes like this detective type story where she's sort of on the hunt trying to figure out what happened to her. But it's so much more than that. It's about social media taking over people's lives, and it's about consent, and it's about all of these incredibly, you know, important topics that are very, you know, of the moment. And the creator, whose name is escaping me right now, she did another show called Chewing Gum on BBC that was supposed to be fantastic, but this is just an absolute masterpiece. I couldn't speak highly enough of it. Her name is Michaela Cole, and I would highly recommend, even before checking it out, like read up on her a little bit, because she has a fascinating background where she grew up in a kind of a poor immigrant community. I believe her family is from somewhere in Africa. I can't remember the exact part. But she grew up in the immigrant community, like in kind of housing developments in London, and ended up in a dance program that was like part of a Pentecostal church. And she became heavily Pentecostal, and then realized that she only really did that because she appreciated that they gave her this inroad into creative expression. She kind of abandoned the religious side of things and started doing drama and theater classes, and she met like a benefactor who helped pay her way through like a really great drama program, and then she wrote a one-woman show that ended up becoming Chewing Gum, and the story of I May Destroy You actually happened to her, and it's just the most confessional, but not in a cloying kind of way. It's just, I can't speak more highly of it. It's just,
can't wait.
Really fantastic.
By the way, her parents are from Ghana.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
All right, Casey, what have you been watching? It can be movies. It doesn't have to be TV.
Okay, perfect. Because I was going to say, there's not that many recent series that I've, you know, of note for me. I would say there's this recent documentary called Jasper Mall. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
It's two guys went to film in this kind of like dying mall in Jasper, Alabama for about a year. And it's very much in the spirit of like an early Errol Morris film where it starts off being about one thing and kind of becomes about something else. Just the more time that he spends in this place, you meet these characters. The guy who's like the... There's this one guy who's like the manager, the janitor, the, you know, business liaison. He basically does everything at this mall. his life is small. He's the ex-proprietor of like a kind of bootleg zoo that was happening in Alabama, where there's just like tigers and all kinds of unsafe stuff that's just like behind like you know, very rudimentary wire fences and so on. He busted out of that zoo and now he manages this mall. And yeah, it's like a really interesting commentary on just the nostalgia that my generation in particular has for the mall.
Yeah.
And yeah, the way that retail is kind of sunsetting, perhaps. I mean, it's all pre-corona, but it feels like very much like the same tendencies are being, you know, strengthened by all of that. It's the score is really, really good. It's got great cinematography. It's just one of those like lightning in a bottle movies where they went to this mall. They didn't know that guy was going to be there. They didn't know they're going to find all these other interesting characters.
That's the best.
And, yeah. And it unfolds like a discovery because it literally like unfolded in front of them for that whole year there that they're making the movie. And, yeah, it's just a really, really cool, like small movie. Probably the best thing I can say about it is like, after I finished watching it, like I wanted to go out and like start shooting something immediately. Cause it just had that feeling of like, you know, there's who would think such an interesting film could come from such a kind of mundane environment, but you realize like life is interesting everywhere. And, yeah, ultimately, I mean, it gets into without overtly saying it. I mean, it really is just like sort of what is the meaning of life of that is kind of the ultimate takeaway from the film. It's very kind of philosophical once you get all the way into it.
You know, Casey, you might remember I sent you a text asking if you were around, and then I never responded. You were at your parents.
Yes.
And it was because a friend of mine was shooting a music video at the North DeKalb Mall,
which is
our kind of dying mall.
Totally.
Which we've talked about on the show a good bit. Chuck, you have fond memories of that growing up as that being kind of the flagship, you know, badass mall, right?
And it was pretty good. I worked there for a short time even. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then now it's just real sad and weird and like half open. And during Corona now, it's apparently just like a ghost town.
Yeah.
And so they were able to go film there almost completely interrupted. Really lack security. They were able to go all around and get crazy shots. And my friend was wearing a green screen suit and they shot all this crazy stuff there. But I was going to see if you had some kind of lens adapter they needed.
Okay.
But they ended up figuring it
out.
But I'm fascinated with dead malls as well. There's actually a website and an Instagram account called Dead Malls that just is photographs of like abandoned, you know, malls, because they're too big to do anything else with.
I know.
Unless you repurpose them into some kind of like community center or do something really creative with them. That's the whole problem with malls, is like no one can afford them, but yet they just sit there derelict. You know, it's very strange.
Well, that's one of the really interesting things about Jasper Mall, is that you do realize that it is kind of a community center, because there's all these kind of like retired people that just hang out there every day and like play card games and visit with each other. And you realize like this is fulfilling the function of like a kind of a public space, even though it is this commercial mall that's like decaying. It's sort of been repurposed into like a place for people to like walk, you know, go on their morning walks and stuff.
Yeah.
And, it's just very, very, something very touching about it. And I will say, I have filmed at North DeKalb Mall as well. Paul and I, made a short there, a few years back, and we were not hassled at all. You know, we got all the shots we needed without security ever picking up on it or even particularly caring, I think.
That's great. That sounds cool, man. I want to check that out, because that is one of my favorite things when a documentary or piece of art like that starts as something and becomes something else.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. I think it's like $4 to rent. It didn't really have a theatrical run because it came out just as the pandemic was starting. So even though it was kind of made for theatrical in mind, it's had this life online. And I think word of mouth has kind of spread about it. Anyway, it's really, really cool. I hope people will check it out.
Sweet. The S-Town of abandoned mall documentaries.
Yes, there you go.
All right, dudes. Well, thanks for coming on, Casey.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was fun.
Yeah, you guys will get your revenge on me with another quiz. Noel, you're up next. We'll do that in a couple of weeks.
All right.
Awesome.
And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you next week.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown. Edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson. And scored by Noel Brown. Here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.